What is going on, everyone? I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
And welcome to our, so what seems to be our monthly episode, wrestling episode of House of Pod.
Indeed.
We have Super Showdown reactions, Revolution predictions. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do that every time. And then, obviously, our AEW NXT stuff. How are you, Bash?
Well, we just got done watching the pay-per-view, so.
Yeah.
Even though I'm still your House of Pod predictions champion,
okay,
well, I'm a little upset.
It wasn't defended. I don't think I won this one. We didn't.
No, I won this one. I had a perfect card the last one.
Okay, but the belt will be upheld at Revolution.
Yeah, I shouldn't be so cocky. The show that I don't cover is where I'm defending the title.
Oh, great. Yeah. Yes, Mike has the advantage. Although, honestly, like the way
this is a scheme to take down your champion.
But here's the thing: like I feel like I'm conditioned for WWE booking. So, like stuff that happened on AEW in my head, it's like, okay, well, if that happens, then clearly this is going to happen on Saturday. But we'll get to that in a bit. First,
we got some
not wrestling news, so we'll get that out of the way before we dive into everything else.
A little bit. Universal, the other theme park in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the studio that owns the Jurassic Park franchise, including Jurassic World, which the Jurassic World 3 title has been released.
Ooh, what is it?
Jurassic World Dominion.
That's
all I know. I hope we're going back to the original plans of dinosaurs with lasers on their heads.
That's not... What?
It was a real thing, but I think the studio like eventually looked at it, was like, wait a minute, nah, this is shit.
Well, this has to spin off of what happened with Fallen Kingdom, which is like,
yeah,
dinosaurs are in the United States,
dinosaurs
now.
In the wild.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
They were seen filming in near national parks, so I'm assuming it's like, yeah, most dinosaurs would want to flee towards nature and be away from people.
Yeah, I kind of hope it's like the, what was that short they did, Battle for Big Rock or Little Rock?
Oh, yeah, where an Allosaurus is attacking the camper.
Yeah.
And a Triceratops, but it gets away because of its hard, thick skull.
Something along the lines of that, because, like, personally, I have not been a big fan of most of the Jurassic parts that aren't, like, one and maybe two. Like, Jurassic Park 3 is just full of memes.
Stay out of the long grass.
That
mind, that's two.
And no, I was thinking of the more when Alan's dream of the Velociraptor. Alan!
That was great.
And then Jurassic World was okay, but Fallen Kingdom was just like, and it might be the cynical part of me.
Oh my God,
the
feels for the dinosaurs.
Yeah, it just might be the cynical part of me, but like, it just in general, like I was not a big, it was storytelling, it was not that good. So, yeah, we'll see how it is. Do we know if Chris Pratt's going to be back?
I assume so. I think it said that it's supposedly going to like wrap up all of them, kind of like in Endgame feel, where it takes like all six movies and just puts them in a nice little neat ball for you.
So we're going to get Dr. Grant and Malcolm and...
Yeah, I believe Dr. Sattler's going to be back too.
Ooh, okay. Who's going to get the kids maybe? The grandkids?
Oh, God, I hope not. Maybe Tim can jump around and not do anything, like hand a gun to Alan when they're trying to close a fucking door.
You know, like, yeah.
This is on you, Tim. You could have saved them.
They were a little bit better in the second one, but when they were older. But, you know, they don't interact as much in that one. They only have, like, that.
Yeah, no, they
the
just
beginning.
Disappear. They don't actually do anything. Yeah. That's why they're better.
So, we'll see how that goes, but.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we were young. That sucked. By the way, we're getting off this island. Good luck.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, I'm kind of excited for that, I suppose. Like I said, I didn't like Fallen Kingdom, so I'm guessing that whatever they do in the next one has to be better than that, right? Fingers crossed.
I mean, it wasn't terrible, but the whole thing was like, okay, wait, so this thing you decided to crossbreed and it went horribly wrong and, you know, broke out and killed a lot of creatures in the park. So you decided to make a smaller, more weaponized version of it. What is wrong with you? Why is this a...
See, I'm more concerned because, I mean, it's the same thing with, like, Godzilla movies. Like, the dinosaurs they're always going to be cool because they're dinosaurs. It's the humans that make the movie stupid or not.
Yep.
Like, and I feel in Lost...
Especially when the girl ran upstairs just to have one of those, like, you know, under the cover bed scenes.
Well, and in, like, Fallen Kingdom, like, they Ghostbuster 2, the two main characters. Like, you know, like, Ghostbusters, essentially, they reset it. So, like, Bill Murray and Sigourney Weaver they had a relationship off screen, but then they broke up so they can be broken up for this movie so they can get back together in the end.
Yeah.
It's basically what they're doing with this. It's like, you're like, oh, that stuff happened off screen. Now their chemistry is that of the first movie. Here's a Chris Pratt type.
Generic Indiana Jones figure A.
Yeah. Indiana Jones is going to be coming out with a new movie.
I notice you're calling him Chris Pratt, not Owen, his character's name. I notice you're calling him Chris Pratt, not Owen, his character's name.
Well, it's because he's...
No one cares about his name. It's Chris Pratt. You remember Dr. Grant and Dr. Sattler, though, because they had character.
Yeah, and more accurately, like, aside from Parks and Rec, ever since Star-Lord, Chris Pratt has played the same character.
That's true.
He's been a Chris Pratt type. Like a goofy, jacked guy who's lovable, but, you know, can also got that sexy look to him. That's why he's sitting on top of a house building it.
Speaking of Chris Pratt, let's move on to Disney news.
Oh, yeah.
I guess supposedly they're searching for Alison Brie, who is in Community and Mad Men. They're trying to cast her as She-Hulk, Jennifer Walters, in the series that comes out.
Wait.
I'm kind of excited for that.
Alison Brie from, Britta?
I don't know. I actually didn't watch either series. I just know she's from those series.
I can't remember because it's not the girl who's in Glow now, right?
I did not watch that series either. I was told several times I should.
Yeah, I've heard it was really good.
I could add that to my ever-growing list, but at this point it's going to take me years to finish.
And that's what Netflix wants.
Exactly.
that would be pretty good. I haven't really seen, aside from Community and a few like random bits here and there, I haven't seen her in much, but I'd be down. The way that you said that, though, you made it seem like there's a hunt for Alison Brie.
Oh,
like,
it is.
They're looking for her. Like they don't know where she's at.
Oh no. It's not like a literal hunt. They really want her for the role. They're looking for an Alison Brie type.
Oh, I guess
the exact casting call is like a 25 to 35-year-old female of any race. One of the important notes, though, is actually they noted for future Avengers team.
Okay.
So they're probably doing the new Avengers with She-Hulk. They have Wicked and Speed, which you saw in the WandaVision trailer.
Yeah.
Give me a minute. Probably Iron Lad, that random kid that was at Tony Stark's funeral that everyone was like, who the hell is that guy?
And they already aged up Ant-Man's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She takes over the mantle at some point, too.
And then supposedly Kate Bishop, as I reported last week. But actually, let's move back to Iron Lad, because in the story, he's kind of Kang the Conqueror in the future.
That kid?
Also, they know... Yeah.
What?
Well, not that kid specifically, but like Kang the Conqueror is Iron Lad in the comics.
Okay.
But there's news that he may be debuting in the Loki series. Or no, he may be in the Loki series, but he may actually be first seen in the Eternals as Roma Tutt.
Oh.
Yeah, he kind of like traveled back in time and was just kind of like, all right, I am now a pharaoh. Worship me.
That's pretty good. Did we talk about the Omega Red stuff last week? Or was this something that we talked about earlier this week before podcasting and I'm just...
It could have been. I don't know. I get awfully excited about Omega Red. Let's talk about it some more.
Yeah. So there was a Reddit post... That had this, I think I read this week. I don't think we talked about this last week. There's a Reddit post that somebody put up that had the synopsis of the first episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier. Now, it was posted anonymously, so you take it with a grain of salt, but like some potential spoilers.
I would also like to say it did come out right around the time when people were test screening episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it could be legit. Carry on.
So basically, the episode seemed like Bucky and Falcon are working with Zemo on something. Falcon is supposed to be the Captain America, but the government has U.S. agent. Falcon's supposed to be it. But the government has U.S. agent, and Falcon actually trusts the guy, which is interesting because that's like a little – that's already side of a
– I thought because of the events of Civil War that he couldn't
– Yeah, because he's essentially like a fugitive, quote-unquote. But the end of the episode has Zemo escaping from Falcon and Winter Soldier, and they go to Matador, the place.
Manticore?
No, I think that's a D&D creature.
That could be
Manticore. Again, it was a fake country in the Marvel universe that primarily deals around X-Men type.
I know what you're talking about. It's going to really annoy me.
Yeah, but anyway, they end up there, and apparently, in like the end of the episode, you see the Leaper guy from Winter Soldier for the very first step, like the first 15 minutes, and then Omega Red like together.
Nice.
Which I once again, if it's
Omega Red,
if that's something that is true, that is amazing, because that's. I feel like that's how they should introduce these X-Men characters, is slowly through other mediums.
So who do you think is going to be the new Wolverine?
I don't know.
If they're doing Omega Red, they got to do a Wolverine Omega Red cross. Part of me almost
feels like if they're going to do a Wolverine, get another guy as Wolverine, they're going to somehow do an old man Logan story to have Hugh Jackman kind of pass the mantle on.
That'd be awesome.
Like, maybe do, like, at this age, I was, a recluse or whatever, you know, blah, 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 where, like, he meets the team or the X-Men, and then they have to go find the younger version of Wolverine. Because they've done that so many times in the comics especially with Cyclops. Like, when Cyclops went, like, crazy after the Avengers vs. X-Men, they, like, went back in time and got
cheated young Cyclops.
Yeah, they went back in time and got young Cyclops to come and, like, be like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Pretty much so. But yeah, like I said, take that with a grain of salt. It was posted anonymously on Reddit, but everything matches up with a lot of the things that have come out so far. So we'll see. See how that goes.
Speaking of grain of salt, new details on The High Republic, the Star Wars show.
Is that a show or is it a video game?
I'm pretty sure it's a show.
Okay, I thought it was a video game for some reason.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I can't remember the exact time frame.
It's supposed to be like way before Episode 1 starts. I know that, but not Old Republic time.
Yeah, this is like way past that, where it's like the height of the Republic. You know, before the collapse.
Yeah, I think this was after.
Ooh, the Sith. That might not end well then.
It probably won't.
Well, like season.
I'm sure the last episode will end, or like the last episode of the series will end with Palpatine becoming Chancellor.
Yeah,
you know,
or the events of Episode 1.
Yeah, well, like everything that was happening around it, like maybe we'll get to see Darth Plagueis.
Ooh, supposedly he was in Episode 1 somewhere.
Yeah, I would say a lot. Even in that video, they talked a lot about the inspiration that they pulled from, which was them saying the legacy, but not actually saying like the legacy canon. In legacy canon, Plagueis tried to meet up with Anakin before. Can't remember if it was before they left Tatooine, or if it was before. They left Naboo, but like he was essentially cut off by the Jedi, but like they didn't like interrupt, like they were in the room, so he backed off because at that point they didn't know he existed.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If it's a TV show, I'm psyched. I thought it was a video game because the Jedi Order, Fallen Order did really good. So I assume this was like a follow up to that, you know?
Oh, no, they went into detail on this. The main bad guy is called the Nile, and they're kind of like space Vikings. Their motto is, you can't take it with you, but we can take it from you.
Oh.
Yeah, it kind of starts at an event called the Great Disaster. They actually brought in Ian McKay to like sketch characters. He's the guy that designed Darth Maul.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that this is going to look really good.
Oh, yeah. Is this a Disney Plus show, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I'm excited. I've always been interested to seeing what
Disney is just taking the Star Wars franchise and running with it.
Well, and like you have, especially with the stuff before all of the episodes, you have so much backstory and shit that you can go through and like cover that. I don't know. I don't see how they can mess it up. They
made uncanon and now they're making recanon.
Yeah. I don't like, cause I mean, at least with like the future of the movies, it's weird. Like with the trilogies, the new trilogies, it's like people are like this is new. They want to see where this is going. Whereas a lot of the stuff in this has already kind of been spoken about in the movies. So now we're just going to see live action version of it. So hopefully it won't take forever to come out, even though I'm sure it will.
Mm-hmm. Well, the ultimate piece of news.
The ultimate.
Yeah. Bob Iger has resigned.
What? Did he really?
Yeah.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bob Chapek is the new CEO. He was the former chairman of Park Experiences and Products. Bob Iger is still staying on, though. He's the executive chairman until December 2021.
Ooh, that's weird. That's weird. That makes me curious.
A little bit, but Kevin Feige is also still in charge of all the Marvel movies, so yeah, we should be okay in this aspect.
Well, yeah, but like, I mean, Bob Iger's been like, he's just been, you know, smacking dingers for like the past like 10, 15 years. This doesn't normally happen.
I think it's been reported though that he's wanted to retire for a while.
I guess he's like,
but he just didn't feel he was in a good place. So. He's like, I don't know. I guess now he does.
I do have all the money now, so I guess it's probably a good. Well, that's interesting.
That Disney pension.
Yeah, especially after him. Like, I mean, he was the one he shook the hands of Lucas. In the transition of
Star Wars and Sony and Marvel.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying, like, that's odd that he would just like, I know, I mean, obviously he wants to retire, but
I guess now he's like, my work is done.
Yeah, my work is done. Continue the monopoly without me. He's backing out before shit hits the fan. That's what that really is.
Yeah, probably. Okay, and I'm retiring. Peace right. out.
All right. Is that it for non wrestling news?
That is.
Cool. So, yeah, let's just dive straight into the wrestling business. Do we have any news, or do we just go straight into the AEW?
I actually do not have too much wrestling news. I do have a couple things about Samoa Joe's been suspended, though.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think they kind of knew about it. Now that he's got a concussion, they're like, all right, let's just suspend him for the time being. We're going to do it after WrestleMania, where he was probably going to have a blow-off match with Lashley.
I don't think that's how that works, though. If you, like, oh, he's out for injury right now, we'll just suspend him. So, like, while he's out for injury, he can serve a suspension. I don't think that's ever...
I think they were trying to delay it. I think they knew, but they were like, okay, well, we want to have a like, WrestleMania match with you and Lashley. It's probably going to be in like a steel cage or a Hell in a Cell or something, you know, so Lana couldn't interfere.
I'm
like that.
I'm disappointed in WWE, so I just always assume the worst with them.
That's true.
Like, they're just monsters. They're just bad.
Mm-hmm. and then Matt Hardy. Ah, he's so good. He posted a video entitled Dear Dr. RKO, which if you rearrange those words, turns into Dark Order.
Ooh.
And yeah, like he has been teasing that, and then Evil Uno said something about...
Are we talking about like AEW?
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Yeah. Evil Uno teased something too. They also offered Matt Hardy an NXT role just to like... Because they're trying to like do anything they can to keep him, but I think he's going to go somewhere to be creative. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to stay.
You have served that company well. Go and do your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're just good. They're like that pop from them coming back from WrestleMania was huge.
Yeah.
And I was super pumped about it, but that was like the highlight of them coming back was them coming back.
Well, then Jeff kind of got injured.
And then, but it wasn't even.
It just never really picked Steve back up.
Yeah, and they just like they just shat the bed when it came to the Broken Universe or the Vulcan, whatever the hell it was. So
they should have just let him run wild.
Yeah, which is why hopefully they'll actually go over to he'll actually go to AEW.
So Eater of Worlds.
Yes, although I did like the Eater of Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, but.
Yeah, him and Bray was the best feud that came out of that.
Yeah, but still, it's like
just because Bray's like, all right, I'll go all in with you.
Yeah, it's like, but like one random tag team towards the end of the Broken Universe stuff, like that's not worth it. Because immediately after that, Bray Wyatt turned into the Fiend.
Yeah, didn't they have him lose all the time too?
Yeah, so it's like who gives a shit? Fuck those people. Go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like,
Probably.
Yeah, where you're, like, appreciated, you know?
Yeah. Oh, and one more piece, kind of anticlimactic, like Super Showdown. Jake Clemens, he's a professional referee that's been for many, like, he's refed for many promotions. He was the Seth Rollins fans that gave a fast count for Owens on Raw.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I think Little Natch was the only good referee-esque type angle they had going.
Maybe Nick Patrick.
Yeah.
He would always get the arm pain. Like, oh, shit. Ah.
Yeah.
It was
okay.
Great.
But yeah.
And then his match versus Lesnar. Or, oh, God, Lesnar. No. Hebner. Yeah, Nick Patrick right. versus Hebner. That was that. Wasn't that was a Mania
sad.
Match?
That was sad. That's what that was.
Mm. It was something.
Yep. Alrighty then. Shall we move on?
Let us move on.
All right. So starting with Wednesday. Some AEW, NXT. AEW, man, they're just fucking crushing it.
I don't want to follow you this week because I know what like this week starts with. Yeah.
Like, all right, so we started out with Kenny versus Pac in a 30-minute Iron Man match. This
on free non-pay-per-view TV.
Man, this was a good
match. The opening match for a go-home show.
It was such a good match. It was like super fast paced right off the bat. There are like feet triggers left and right. Kenny gets the first win because Pac was just like, I'm just going to hit him with a chair and hit him with a chair. And they kind of went at it. The end, though, Pac got a point. What was the one? Oh, there was the ref bump. Ooh, there's a, I think Kenny went to go do a, drop kick, the Pac moved out of the way and the ref got bumped. So then Pac pulls out a table and then hits this awesome shooting star through the table on the outside of the ring. It was gorgeous.
From the top rope, right?
Yeah.
Like from a top rope to a table on the outside of the ring.
It was gorgeous. Yes. But the so the end of the match, it basically was just Pac having Kenny in the brutalizer and trying, and Kenny basically desperately hanging on to until time runs out. Time, which it does, at tied at 1-1. So then they call sudden death, goes into sudden death mode, and that's
well. No, first they call for a draw, and then everyone's pissed off.
That's true, yeah.
And then they do their best, like, oh, I'm receiving a special announcement that I totally didn't know was coming.
But in the end, Kenny ends up getting that baby face fire going. Hits the one knee at Angel after. Like I think he tried to get a pin attempt off of V-Trigger, maybe?
Oh, possibly. I know he kind of teased a top rope one-winged Angel, which I am both thrilled and terrified to see.
Right. I will say, and speaking of both feelings, I guess. I don't know why this popped in my head, but when Pac hit Kenny with the chair. He said that was the first disqualification in AEW.
It was.
Yeah, that's impressive. And maybe a shot at WWE.
Yeah, there should have been a couple of them right on, especially in the beginning when, you know, they're...
Oh, yeah, some of the like, weird
what match was that where they're like, no, Cody, you can't use your belt. And they took the belt away, then Tully handed Sean Spears his belt. And then... He was like beating him with it. I was like, wait, what? That makes no sense.
Up next, we had. Oh, that's right. Pac was getting interviewed afterwards. Orange Cassidy came out and like kind of got in his face, and so like Pac like beat him up. And then now they have a match at Revolution, which is Pac's first official match in AEW.
Orange Cassidy's first match, not Pac's.
That's what I meant. I've been saying Pac so much just now. So
that was a lot of Pac's.
Yes, it was. Moving on, so we had Jurassic Express defeated the Inner Circle, who was represented by Sammy and then Santana Ortiz. A lot of, once again, big explosive right off the back. There was some trying to get some interruption from Sammy, but... Darby Allin comes in with the save, and I'm pretty sure it ends with Jungle Boy getting the pin on Sammy with like this like a Hurricanrana pin of sort. I don't know.
I think so. Some sort of a Hurricanrana combo, but it looked terrific.
I do like their like weird like trifecta move where they like got the, all three of them were in the ring. They like put their hands together and like said something and then ran and did a dropkick to the corner.
Yes. Oh my God. Luchasaurus.
I love. Okay. Yeah. So I love Jurassic Express. My one concern is the way that the matches usually end up. It's like Marco Stunt gets the shit kicked out of him for 5 minutes yes. and then goes and makes the hot tag to one of the other people. Like, as long as that is not what happens all the time, I'm so on board for this, like, large, medium, small, you know, wrestling combo. Hopefully they'll bring in, like, a... I think they talked about doing a three-man tag team championship.
That'd be awesome. I think they have enough.
Which would be really sweet. Up next, we had a quick match. Well, it wasn't a quick match. We had Best Friends defeating Butcher and the Blade. There was some interference with Cassidy, and I enjoy watching both the, like all these teams go. But like whenever Orange Cassidy's on screen, he kind of like steals the thunder from everything. Like he ended up
with minimal effort.
Yeah,
that's his shtick.
That's his shtick. Yeah,
and it works.
He stopped Bunny from interfering with the match, and then I think she took his glasses at one point, and so then he took her bunny ears at some point, and, like, crowd was just fucking eating it up, but yeah, Best Friends.
It was great.
Yeah, Best Friends pull it off at the end. I don't know where they're at the ranking-wise. They usually, every week they put up a weekly ranking with the tag teams and the singles. I didn't see what this week's one was, but, I mean, I'm assuming after Revolution, whatever's coming up is going to kind of kick in. So, after that, we had Hikaru Shida defeating Big Swole, Shanna, and Yuki Sakazaki. And
God, I love Yuka Sakazaki.
Her music is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But
hers is one of the better ones.
Mm-hmm. This was a pretty good match. I mean, like, everyone was getting their spot in. It got really chaotic at certain points, but it held together. Like, it was one of those, like, it's hard to describe it, like, those spots that just, like, are all over the place, but it's one of the, it's because there's, like, four people who, like, are just really well at working with each other, so then, like, this can happen, and then that leads into this, and then these two things happen, which collide, and, you know, I did not write down how the match ended, but I believe Yuki went for the pin, and then Hikaru Shida was just like, no. There was a storyline with Yuki and it wasn't Hikaru, was it? It was something that happened at Fighter Fest.
Not sure. This match I didn't pay much.
I thought it was
to.
Like Yuki and Ryo, like there was some weird betrayal between them that never really got out.
Not that I know of.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just blowing smoke up my ass. I like vaguely remember Fighter Fest, but it's only because I think that one we didn't. I think we watched, but we caught like the end of it. Because I don't remember much of it. I just remember the ring setup.
Yeah, that was a lot of pay-per-views ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Anyway, so in between those, we had a few promos, one of which was the Dark Order, which we were saying earlier. Evil Uno saying that Christopher Daniels will soon find out that he is obsolete.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is more
wonderful.
Teases. Like, I mean, these red herrings are just everywhere. But isn't Matt tied to a contract until March?
Yeah, March 1st.
Yeah, so. Oh, well.
So, no, he's not going to show up at
Revolution? Mm-hmm. No, definitely not. Like, not at all.
I don't know. Maybe they'll have, like, a masked character doing, like, a yes. And then tease a reveal, lights go out, and they all just disappear.
Oh, what Which, if they...
Given
what if,
all the minions, that would be very difficult.
What if they have his father-in-law go in? Matt's father-in-law?
The Senior Benjamin?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Because
everyone knows who Senior Benjamin is, but he's not tied to anything.
That's true.
That would be so funny.
Vanguard 1.
Like, Senior... Yeah, it's just him and Senior Benjamin and Vanguard. And, like, they're just there to report that Matt's in limbo still.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. That would be amazing.
Yeah, you just see Senior Benjamin come out, like,
Has anyone seen Mr. Hardy? No? Mr. Hardy?
That would be an even worse tease if, like...
Just puts the microphone down and then walks away.
I've seen your Benjamin go to all these different promotions doing that. Show up at Ring of Honor, Impact, and so...
That would actually be terrific.
Mm-hmm. After that, though,
especially if Matt was like, "I might let you re-sign if you let me do this WWE."
Yeah,
so you have Senior Benjamin show up
everybody
on NXT and the main roster,
right? So after that, there was another an interview between Paige and Kenny and the Young Bucks being interviewed by JR. The Young Bucks were so arrogant. And, Kenny was almost on their side for, some of the things. They were saying how, Young were saying, I can't believe that they won the belts before we did. And, saying all that shit. And you see Hangman just kind of,
He's getting, more and more pissed off.
Yeah, that's and even great. Kenny was like, oh, these guys are great. And when we're wrestling, we want to make sure that, when we're in the ring, it's because we're trying to reach the caliber that they put out. And Hangman's the whole time, he's just what the, But what really set him off was eventually is when the Young Bucks are when we win our belts back, we'll shake hands and then we can all be elite again. And Hangman was have you not been listening for the past months? I'm not in the elite anymore. I'm not elite. And then just leaves.
Yeah, his drink's empty. So then he leaves.
Oh, it's so good. Everything about what's going on with them is so good. And it's it's weird because I feel Hangman isn't going to be the bad guy in this scenario. It seems it started out that, but now I'm looking at him as this guy who's trying to strike out on his own, but keeps getting pulled back in with his friends that are saying you wouldn't.
Oh, especially when they said oh yeah, you were a jobber on Ring of Honor.
Yeah. They're I would slap the shit out of him. Fuck you, man. So Saturday's going to be awesome. Yeah,
we're the champs.
Saturday's going to be amazing. I'm super excited for that one. So,
yeah, I kind of almost want Hangman to actually win the titles himself now.
Yeah. Right.
So, it's again.
Yeah. It's just him defending the belt by himself. So the night ended with, a weigh-in for the heavyweight championship match between Moxley and Jericho.
Yeah, it's kind of a spiritual contract signing, if you will.
Yeah. Jericho comes out with the whole Inner Circle all wearing track suits and treated he's a boxer and stuff. And Jericho's slowly taking his stuff off, getting ready. He's really milking it. But of course, him and Moxley start arguing. Moxley headbutts him. Jericho busts open. Then all the Inner Circle start beating up Jericho. And then Dustin comes out and starts beating up Jake. And they go to the back and the Dippin' Dots. Oh, no, no. What did the Dippin' Dots do to you?
Yeah. The Dippin' Dots.
Which I was not like, product placement. Yeah, and then Darby Allin came out and was going to attack Sammy, but Sammy got the jump on him and broke the skateboard over his head or something.
Yeah, not or something. He did.
Yeah, I don't know how secure that skateboard is, but skateboards are thick as fuck.
Yeah.
So that is, I hope that was a prop because that must have really hurt. Really hurt.
It's fine. It's Darby Allin.
It's okay. But yeah, and then
he's the young British Undertaker, but he's not actually British.
All right. So then the brawl continues. Jericho ends up hitting the Judas Effect and then doing his own version of a paradigm shift onto Moxley. And yes. Yeah, Jericho's kind of standing tall, just bloodied. And but at the
I was a nice touch. Didn't have the same effect as Becky Lynch though.
Yeah. It was I liked that because it was and that's what this is when I go back to WWE booking. Technically, from how they've always booked, because Moxley got beat up that day, he's going to win the belts on Saturday. But the way that they booked it, A, they're not WWE. And B,
that's true.
It was it wasn't Moxley looked a bitch, he fought five people. He was trying to fight off five people after initiating a fight against what could have potentially have just been a 6-1.
Yeah.
You know? So you can't, it wasn't like, oh, you just got his ass handed to him. It's like, of course he did. But like, that's the point. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. Like, he's just, he's in it to do it because he wants to fight him. So,
yeah. Which I like.
Yeah. So, oh my God, Saturday's going to be great. But yeah, that is AEW for the week. The go home show before Revolution
is a mystery full of changes no one sees.
Revolution. Yes. So yes, how was NXT?
It was not as good as that. It opened up. Charlotte arrived, but you know, yeah, she was, it was announced. We knew that. But then it was Dijakovic versus Cameron Grimes because the TV cameras cannot get enough of Dijakovic.
Nope. Dijakovic.
So this is your classic, you know, power versus speed match. Even though Grimes is actually decently tall. Also, power mostly wins in this case. Oh, unless Damian Priest takes out Power's knee with a nightstick after an awkward landing of a second rope moonsault to the outside. Yeah, and it kind of looks like Dijakovic is actually going to be counted out, but he slides in at the like very last second and then eats a cave-in. 1-2-3, Cameron Grimes wins.
Oh.
Yeah, it was announced later that Damian Priest wants a North American title shot, and well, I'm kind of glad that this happened because while this will probably end up being a feud, I'm assuming Damian Priest is going to win and then get a shot at Keith.
I thought you meant he's going to win against Keith. Like, no way.
Either that or there's going to be some sort of a triple threat again, which I don't mind. Damian Priest is a big boy. I like it.
Mm.
This is another one of their giant cruiserweight division matches.
Giant cruiserweight division.
Yeah, they seem to have a lot of those. It's the light heavyweight.
Good. The light heavyweight championship.
Yeah, the giant heavyweights.
Let's bring that back.
Hmm. Oh, Regal also makes a bold announcement next. There's going to be a multi-women ladder match for the number one contender at the NXT Women's Champion, and qualifying matches are beginning next week.
Ooh.
The NXT like women's division just continues to be one of the most interesting things in wrestling.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that out of at least, well, you can argue a lot, but the one thing that WWE has against AEW is their women's division is just better.
Yeah, far superior.
Yeah.
Although they did kind of hit a reset with Nyla. Like, it wasn't really, like, Riho's fault. She just couldn't be in the country, which was affecting her.
Yeah. But, yeah.
But, you know, children.
They definitely can build from it now because they're getting a few stars. But, like, they have even, like, NXT is just, like all their women are just, like, hits. Like, they're
yes, doing great. All of them are terrific.
Same thing on the main roster. Like, a majority of your main roster are, like, very, very huge stars.
So. Yeah, like, Caden Carter's a jobber, and she's been doing really good.
Yeah.
Like, she just is like, oh, you look really good. You're just making everyone else look better.
Yeah, exactly.
Next up, we have Balor out for another promo.
Balor!
Until Fabian Archer and Marcel Barnthel are out to from Imperium to give him the regards from the ring general.
Ooh.
And
that's some fucking power right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they end up beating him up.
That is some power. Like, Walter wanted us to come out and talk to you.
Yeah, so just to say hello.
Yeah.
So, I believe we have a NXT UK takeover scheduled for Dublin, Ireland.
Dublin.
I think I know a match.
Yeah, right.
Might be a spoiler. I think Walter's going to face Finn Balor. I actually don't know who's going to win this one, though. Like, yes, it's in Dublin, Ireland, but Walter and Imperium.
Right.
Either way, that's going to be real good. So, next up, which... you can hardly follow that, but Xia Li versus Mia Yim. Which, it's actually a good match. Both of these are pretty good competitors. Yim kind of hits the eat defeat when Dakota Kai just kind of like comes out with her greatest weapon, the giant Raquel Gonzalez. I guess Kai's like, you know, hey, you took my spot in the War Games spot, so now she's going to kick your ass. It's kind of like, oh, I'm going to hire a bully.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, as that happens, Xia Li is kind of like, oh, and that executes the most devastating move in all of wrestling, the surprise roll-up. 1-2-3,
And then Raquel just kind of like leaves them both laying, because even though like Raquel and Dakota Kai are going after Mia Yim, Zaya's like, oh, I'm still going to make the save. I did a heel thing, but I'm not a heel, even though this is the second time I've done that heel thing. But yes, moving on. Velveteen Dream promo. He's basically like, William Regal, leave the cage down next week, because I guess we're getting two steel cage matches.
Ooh.
Yeah, so Dakota Kai versus Tegan Nox, and Dream versus Roderick Strong, because he's basically like, you tried to break my back. You deserve to taste the steel.
Yeah, and then I'm going to...
The dream, and the then experience. I'm going
to steal your wife afterwards.
Yeah. God, that's such a great thing with the tights.
Right.
Moving on, we could have what easily could have been the main event. Ciampa versus Austin Theory. Both of these guys looked really good. I said this would be great as long as it wasn't like a squash match, which Ciampa just steamrolling Austin Theory.
Yeah.
But Austin Theory actually gets revenge for last week when Ciampa kind of like threw him from barricade to barricade. Austin Theory just kind of like shouted in his face ruthless aggression and threw him from barricade to barricade.
All right, John Cena, calm down there.
Oh, or he's been watching the network.
Yeah.
It's on there.
Ruthless aggression.
Yeah, so he throws Ciampa back in the ring, goes up to get in the ring, and Ciampa hits Willow's Bell. Followed by Project Ciampa. Followed by the 1-2-3. Well, no, sorry. Followed by the fairy tale ending, then the 1-2-3. Yes. But then Gargano comes out for a post-match beatdown, and then afterwards he's kind of like sitting on the apron and doing the slow clap, kind of like Ciampa does. Oh, that's great.
Ooh.
Like I was kind of thinking like earlier, it's like, Gargano's kind of getting stale. Like, you know, yes, he's making other people look good, but he's kind of like always losing now. And even when he wins, it's like, I'm kind of glad to see him back in Ciampa. I want to see this ending with the roles reversed. I think TakeOver is a nice place to end it.
It sucks that it's not for the title, but it definitely needs to end. Like I do like the role reversal because it kind of makes more sense with the whole like they're trying to recover from having to be full on baby faces for the like week and a half they were on SmackDown or Raw.
Yeah, that was a while ago, though. It's just been like, Ciampa's been so good. Like, he's not really doing anything different, but he's still, like, being the obvious babyface of the story against Adam Cole.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now he's got to be the babyface, and Gargano's got to be the heel. And I don't know, it kind of suits him. Gargano's like the sympathetic heel, almost. He's the Thanos. But moving on to another giant cruiserweight division match. Bronson Reed versus Killian Dane.
Ooh, big demo.
Yes, two very big cruiser heavyweights. They like collide in the ring at one point. I honestly thought like there might have been broken ribs. It was kind of brutal.
And then Damo's chest hair just absorbs the other guy.
That's most likely what happened. It absorbed his power anyway, because the finish came. It was a superplex, then two sentons, and then a Vader bomb for the 1-2-3.
Jesus.
It was just like, okay, Damo, I think you got him.
I'm glad people stopped chanting, shave your back. Because like when Killian debuted in WWE, everyone started chanting, shave your back. Because he's like, I mean, he's a hairy motherfucker.
Yeah.
Albert
started that.
Yeah, but I would say like George the Animal started that. Like when I look at Damo... body type is more attuned to that. Not communication skills.
Except he's like 9,000 times more agile.
Yeah, that too.
But up next, we have a grizzled young vets running down America for whatever reason, and the Forgotten Sons kind of like defending it. I thought they were heels. I'm not sure what's going on. We're having a weird like American patriotism turned with Lacey Evans and now the Forgotten Sons.
Now refresh my memory, the Forgotten Sons are the Sons of Anarchy guys, yes. Right? Okay. That's why they defended America.
Yeah.
America. You come down here and insult America?
Mm. Anyway, the finish kind of comes when Blake goes for a moonsault, and Drake just kind of, like, pushes Gibson out of the way. They hit a ticket to Mayhem, 1-2-3. Grizzly Young Veterans pick up the win, which I think that's good. They're really good. Yeah. They're insanely good. I'm glad they're getting a push. Like, NXT could have a, like, if they push all these teams, right, they could have the next, like, Edge and Christian, Dudley Boys, Hardy Boys, like, feud just all wound together.
And
then again, the main roster could have that too, but they won't.
Literally about to say, like, it doesn't matter because they're just going to fuck it up when they move up to the main roster anyway.
Yes.
Because that's just what happens. Lasai.
Because Vince has shiny new toys and then he just gets bored with them.
Yep.
And all right, let's go back to these. Charlotte Flair. Which, oddly enough, is up next against Bianca Belair.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Which, there were so many You Don't Go Here chants, which was great. And at one point, I believe they actually had You Don't Go Here and Welcome Back alternating chants, which also, a Full Sail crowd, full props to them. They make every show just seem like it's the greatest show in the world, which it's really, really good, but it's not a 30-minute Pac Omega opening match.
Yeah. My issue with Full Sail, and well, no, there isn't an issue with Full Sail. I don't have an issue with Full Sail. I have an issue when they talked about moving NXT to, like, different arenas. Because they, in their eyes, because Full Sail is smaller, it seems like NXT is on a smaller scale than, like, AEW or, like, the other shows. But, like, that intimacy is almost what makes NXT, like, that much better, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sort of. The crowd is definitely, like, always high energy and always reacts as they should to everything. Yeah,
exactly.
But anyway, moving back, Bianca actually looks, like, really good in this match until Charlotte looks better.
Yeah.
And that kind of rinses and repeats throughout because it's like, all right, Bianca's, like, rallying now and then Charlotte's shutting her down. The finish kind of comes with this dueling spears. Like, Bianca hits the spear and it doesn't, like, really look that good. It looks like Goldberg's second spear in the Fiend match.
Oh, where, like, she just kind of walks up, and then he's like, oh, a spear, fall over.
Yeah, like, oh, touch you with my head. Which, you know, kind of explains why Charlotte, like, she almost kind of no-sold it. She kind of, like, sprung back up to her feet and, like, gave a spear of her own, and then hit with the natural selection. 1-2-3. Charlotte wins clean. And then she kind of, like, grabs a chair and then slides it into the ring afterwards because, you know, she's a heel.
Mm-hmm.
This is my brutality! So, of course, Rhea Ripley has to come down to make the save, because that's what faces do. But Charlotte does, you know, instead of standing in the ring like, oh my god, someone's coming to stop me! You know, like most other people does, she actually, like, puts her foot in the chair as Ripley's coming down to the ring and, like, stomps on it a few times, and she's about to lock on the figure eight, and then it's like, nah, she's too close, and then just, like, jumps up and runs.
There you go.
And then, of course, you know, Ripley does the invisible wall, like, once she's entered the ring, like, oh, I can't leave out and chase her.
Do you think Bianca will have something to do with Charlotte losing?
I kind of hope so.
I kind of don't, only because then I feel like that takes away from, I still want the end result to be Charlotte losing, but I feel like that would take away from Rhea's spot. You know what I mean? Because then it took two people to take down Charlotte as opposed to just her.
Well, I feel then it gives Rhea time to start a program with Io. And meanwhile, Charlotte can come down to NXT and start a fight with Bianca.
Yeah.
And then eventually we can get a two out of three things with Io. Because, like, you know, the first one, maybe it can be like Io kind of like cheats or something like that and gets a DQ. But then gets a rematch somehow.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm
and eventually worried. The third one, Io takes it.
Because
she deserves it.
I'm just worried about Rhea versus Charlotte. Because in the back of my head, I'm like, they're going to give it to Charlotte, aren't they?
Oh, they are.
They're
going to.
Don't fucking do that.
Oh, no. I have great scenarios in my head, but they're giving it to Charlotte.
Oh, God. It makes me so sad. So yeah.
We wanted Becky versus Ronda. We got Becky versus Charlotte versus Ronda because Vince wanted Charlotte, but this is the one time when everyone's like, Vince, no.
Don't
put Becky in with Ronda.
Yeah.
Like, you can hear the crowd reactions. Like, fine.
Fine, I'll do it.
But we're putting Charlotte in too.
So dumb.
Like, fine, whatever.
And
let's make a cuck storyline too.
Yeah, or two, or three. Was that all for the NXTs?
That is all for the NXTs. All
right. Well, I mean, they have a pretty long road ahead of them when it comes to both takeovers and next pay-per-views, aside from Super Showdown. But that
takeover Tampa.
That doesn't really count. When is that?
It's before WrestleMania.
Oh, okay. So it's later in April or beginning of April?
First week of April, I think.
Cool.
Saturday.
Cool. Okay. So that's a pretty solid time. Once again, I don't want Charlotte to win. Let it be Rip Ripley.
I don't want Charlotte to win either, but she's probably going to.
Yeah, I know. So, speaking of disappointment, Super Showdown.
Yes.
I don't know why my expectations are ever high for these.
I mean, there were a couple matches that were okay.
Yeah, but
I'd say Seth Murphy and Street Profits and that New Day, Miz Morrison. Maybe the Viking Raiders and the OC on the pre-show.
See, I didn't see the pre-show match.
Mm.
But I guess we can start out with that. How was that? We had the Good Brothers, Viking Raiders. That was the only...
It was actually pretty good. Right. It was another Giant have a Cruiserweight match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Good Brothers.
Yeah, at one point... Eric or Ivar, I don't remember which one they renamed which, does like a diving somersault off the top rope. It's pretty awesome.
That's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I like both those tag teams. It's just disappointing that they're like on the pre-show and the tag champs are both tag champs now are just guys. They're not tag yep. teams. They're just two people that just so happen to have won the tag belts.
That's how it works.
Yeah. So the night kicks off with the Battle Royale for a trophy we'll never see.
Yeah, he didn't even take it with him, did he?
No,
he just kind of stared at it. I was like,
Yeah. We start out with R-Truth and Bobby Lashley, which I was really hoping R-Truth was going to go the distance.
Same, even though I voted for AJ Styles.
And it was like every elimination wasn't done by him. Like, he eliminated Bobby, but he kind of
Yeah, Bobby Lashley ran into the post and then tripped over him, or Bobby Lashley tripped over Truth. And then Truth was like, oh, and got the pin.
Yeah.
And then Lashley destroyed him.
Mm-hmm. And then Andrade comes out. And he's wrecking his ass. And then was it like an accidental headbutt or something?
Yeah, it was
like
an accidental headbutt, and Truth kind of like
fell on top of Andrade. Yeah,
it looked like he almost knocked Andrade out and then fell on top of him for the 1-2-3.
And then Eric Rowan comes out and gets himself disqualified because R-Truth tries to see what's inside the.
No, he just shoves him in, Truth hits the cage because. Yes, that's what happens, Eric Rowan, when you throw someone into a cage.
Yeah. And then, unfortunately, AJ Styles finally puts away the dominant beast that was R-Truth.
Yeah, Calf Crusher.
Mm-hmm. And we're waiting for Rey Mysterio's music to hit.
His music hits. Yeah, we're just waiting for the man. And then his music hits again, because he still didn't show up.
And then it cuts in the back, and AJ's laughing the whole
time. Not even a Dominic,
time.
Like a half Mysterio.
Yeah, right?
A Rey Mysterio Jr.
Then you cut to the back, and Rey Mysterio is just getting laid out by the Good Brothers. AJ's laughing, saying that he already won, and the announcers basically say that they have until the count of 10 for the opponent to come out, or else AJ wins. And then it cuts back, and you just see the Good Brothers being tossed into camera view, and I'm like, that's not Rey. And then the leather jacket of one Undertaker as he
spent. Or Sting, we don't know at this point.
It was, yeah, I was like, is that Sting at first? But then it was Undertaker, and he took 10 minutes to get to the ring to chokeslam AJ, pin him.
Yes, his walk to and back from the ring took longer than the actual match.
Yep. Although I will say, because AJ is a small guy, that was a nice chokeslam. He almost went too far because it looked like he went over his shoulder a bit.
And AJ sold that pretty well, especially mm-hmm. since he just got a separated shoulder from taking a weird spear.
Yeah. So
landing weird from a spear. My bad. It was not Edge's fault. It was AJ. He said so.
So yeah, Taker wins and then just like looks at the trophy and pauses for the camera and then walks away.
And then pauses for the camera.
Yes, that's true. We got to pause for the camera.
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
Twice.
So yeah, after that, fun. It's nice to see a 53-year-old man one shot AJ Styles. I would have liked to have seen a match. I want to see AJ versus Undertaker actually wrestle, not...
Supposedly we're getting that Mania.
I would like that, because if anyone's going to make Undertaker look good, it's going to be AJ, because he can make anyone look good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's the thought.
Yeah. After that, we had Morrison... And Miz or Mrs. Morrison. I don't think they have an actual tag team name.
Mizison? I don't know. Ms. Orison?
Mike Morrison? I don't know. Versus The New Day. It was a...
Johnny Miz.
It was all right. It was all right. It was an okay match. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, it was one of the better matches.
Yeah. There was a ref distraction.
A steel chair.
Yeah, and a steel chair at the end, which cost New Day the titles. I was kind of surprised about.
Just as your champion predicted.
That was the one I didn't predict, right?
No, you predicted that one too.
Okay, which one did I thought. Which one did I? We were against a couple.
You did not wisely choose your Monday Night Messiah.
Oh yeah.
Because you thought Buddy Murphy was gonna take a pin.
Well, it seemed like he was.
Turns out his V trigger is what turned it around, and you know a little curb stomp, but whatever.
Well, we skipped the match. We'll get to that one in a second. Yeah. But we had Humberto Carrillo versus Angel Garza.
We agreed.
Yeah, it was a good match. Garza. It was a pretty good match. I really enjoy watching these. To be honest, I really like watching these two wrestle, and mainly because they're aside from like Ricochet, there isn't a lot of that kind of like crazy parkour esque
lucha style.
Yeah, lucha style stuff. So it's nice to see that not from Rey. Because I mean, yeah. Rey has his moveset already, and it's been like that for a while. So I'm not knocking him for that, but like most of what he does, I've seen him do before. Whereas like I still feel like these guys can still bust out some stuff that they haven't really done or seen. So
yeah, they are throwing out some innovative things, mm-hmm. Especially the wing clipper. It just looks brutal.
I will say the one thing that took away from me was the ending, because it was like a weird trade off of pins. Like, everyone was surprised rolling up everybody else.
Yeah, that was just, like, surprise roll-ups, building surprise roll-ups. Mm-hmm. You know, like, when you play Uno, like, that's not on the rules, but, like, draw two trains, which just keeps going around and building up?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened. Like, the pins just kept getting harder and harder to kick out of.
I guess.
Until Humberto could no longer kick.
Yep, Angel Garza takes the victory, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, after that we had Rollins and Murphy versus the Street Profits. It was an okay match. I wish that Street Profits won. Only because I wish my prediction would be right. I do enjoy
but
them.
But it wasn't.
But I don't want that. Like, I feel like the only thing they have Street Profits are there for is to be like the third hour recap of Raw.
Exactly. They're just kind of like Charlie Caruso.
Yeah. They're like, because they have like, they're charismatic, so.
Yeah, it was nice to see them in a match. It was a really good match, but it wasn't just like anything spectacular.
Yeah, but we ended with Buddy Murphy had the referee distracted so Seth Rollins can do a curb stop on the hardest part of the ring.
Which I think was technically legal, so.
Yeah, but yeah.
Legal-ish.
Legal-ish. But yeah, so then Rollins and Murphy retain. Once again, it was an okay match.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I want to see it go to the Authors of Pain somehow. That seems like it would make more sense.
Well, that's kind of why I thought that they were going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So then Street Profits can drop it to AOP.
I thought so too, but yeah, they probably just...
Guess not.
They can't change too many titles.
Mm-hmm. After that, we had Mansoor versus Dolph Ziggler. And Bobby Roode, he gets ejected, like, immediately.
Yeah.
Like, did the match even start?
No, there was just like he shoved Mansoor, Mansoor shoved him back, the ref ejected him.
Yeah.
But it took a little bit because the ref didn't do the swirl in the hands that Hebner used to do. That's true. When you throw people out is key. They know it's serious.
Because then you know it's, you're like, wow, I'm getting ejected. Whereas this guy's like, get out of here. And Bobby was like, oh, what do you mean? Where's your hand spins?
Yeah. Or I think one ref did like a double point. That was always like, oh, man, he's serious too.
I don't know, man. I think
not quite Hebner serious, but
it's
serious.
Seeing the hand spin, it's like a good wind up to a pitch, you know.
It
especially
is,
especially get that lean going. They're like kind of leaning back because like the force of the spin is taking them.
Mm-hmm. I still want to see a scenario where like the referee throwing people out gets to be just like so. I don't know what, like so much, like so over the top that it actually costs someone a match, like while he's distracted doing like hand signals to throw someone out, like the other guy just like gets a chair and like
that sounds
smacks
like,
his opponent.
That sounds like that would be like some sort of battle royal, but the ref was the guy from Monday night who's working with Seth Rollins, and he's just throwing people out left and right for Seth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I didn't like that angle at all. So
no one saw it coming.
Yeah, I guess.
It was something new.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't hate it too much, but I don't like it.
Moving on. Mansoor won the match.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, and which was expected. Like,
anytime Dolph Ziggler's in a match, you expect him to lose.
Anytime Dolph Ziggler's in a match wearing the American flag on him.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to lose.
In Saudi Arabia, especially.
Especially in Saudi. Yeah, and then he gave a speech afterwards because he's inspired.
Uh-huh.
It was okay. I like him. I wish that he would do more than wrestle on Saudi shows.
Yeah, although those knees to Dolph Ziggler's chest is probably why he didn't.
Yeah, that's
he Mansoor finished with a moonsault, and the knees kind of ended up in Dolph Ziggler's chest. Yeah. And
to be fair, I think Dolph was too far away.
Mansoor knew where he was.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He chose to go over to that ring post. He didn't move him closer.
That's true. Up next, we had, oh, God, Roman and Corbin in a cage match.
Yep, Roman and Corbin again.
Yep.
Roman wins.
Yep. He, some hollow point.
Big old chain around the hand. Big old chains. Punch around the face. Big old 1, 2, 3.
Yep. You see him cock back, and I'm like, oh, this isn't good. He's gonna hit it. And then, sure enough, Superman punch. Hopefully, this is the end of Roman and Corbin.
Oh God, they're gonna
please be the end of Roman and Corbin.
That means that he's getting a title shot at Mania.
Maybe
though.
They're doing this on purpose. Maybe it's like if we just keep Roman in this like garbage feud, people will be so desperate to see him fight anybody else that when we take him out, it doesn't matter where we're going to put him. They're going to be like, fucking finally, it's not Baron Corbin.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know.
Moving on. Lesnar versus Ricochet.
Yeah, this match, the entrances were quicker than the actual match itself.
Mm-hmm. Undertaker's entrance might have been longer than both entrances and the match.
Mm-hmm. What I'm disappointed about is when I was telling you, I was like, I'm kind of excited for this one because even though Lesnar's going to win, he has really good matches against small guys. And honestly, like, I can almost see it in Ricochet's face how, like, not into this he was. Like, when he was actually in the ring before all this went, like you can see that he's like, well, this is going to be stupid.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what it was. It was dumb.
Yeah, it was like a push, a punch, 3 suplex cities, an F5, a 1, 2, 3. Ricochet still gets to go home to Casey Catanzaro.
I mean, that would have happened anyway, either way.
Yes, I know, but that's just a...
just not fun. I'm so over Lesnar.
Everyone's been for a bit.
I know, but it really, like, and I mean, I'm sure my opinion doesn't matter to the WWE, but like,
they're listening. Don't you say that.
I don't give a shit. I don't watch their products. Like, I can't remember the last time I watched Raw and SmackDown, like, sat down and watched it. That wasn't like, oh, here's a YouTube video that has Kevin Owens in it. I want to see that. Or here's something that has The Fiend. I want to see that. And that's it.
The Firefly Funhouses are amazing.
Because it's just not good. And your main title holder is Lesnar again. who's never there.
Yes.
I almost forgot that Braun Strowman was the Intercontinental Champion. Like, that's, I feel like belts are an issue with that company.
They need to make the IC title more prevalent.
And even, like, what's it, Andrade. Granted, he was suspended for a month. When he came out, he's like, you're United States champion. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. And that's not good.
No, it's not. Like, NXT, the North American championship is really prestigious. Yes. Everyone's chasing that.
Yes, and they'll never get it because they have to pry it off the hands of the Great One.
Oh, yeah. How are you going to get that away from Keith Lee?
You're too busy basking in his glory to get that belt.
So much glory.
So the penultimate match this evening was Bayley versus Naomi for the women's title. I thought it was a pretty interesting way to end because it was like Bayley got Naomi in a submission move, but like she had her foot caught underneath the shirt that they had to wear for Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, they like, just did the like little face buster thing that does.
Yeah, like literally taking advantage of the outfit they have to wear for this place.
I like it. That was kind of a little like, a new heel way to win.
Yeah, this
was kind of cool.
I thought that was pretty clever. You know, Bayley retains. It kind of sucks for Naomi, but like
I think they'll redo it at Mania and give it to her then.
Yeah. And then the last match of the night, we had one Bill Goldberg versus The Fiend Bray Wyatt.
Undertaker's entrance is definitely longer than the match.
I will give Goldberg credit for not concussing himself before he gets into the ring.
That was terrific on his part.
But like,
him not getting a concussion seems to be difficult, or busting himself open in some sort of fashion.
Okay. Because you have Bray Wyatt no-sell everything after the match doesn't take away from just how fucking pointless that match was.
Yes.
For this 2 years in a row.
Especially WWE, since his no-sell just ended in him disappearing.
Yes. Like 2 years in a row, WWE has stopped the momentum of one of their characters, one of their homegrown guys, first Kevin Owens, and now this.
More than 2 years in a row.
Well, no, but I mean, like, in general, like, it has been, the trend has been, here's this guy, everyone likes him, he's got the belt, but we have WrestleMania coming up, let's call Bill Goldberg, he'll beat you in 2 minutes, and then we have a bullshit championship match at WrestleMania. Like,
where Brock Lesnar wins.
God, what the f... I was honestly like, this really soured the whole night for me. They could have at least made the match longer, too.
Or yeah.
Something. Something that wasn't like, Goldberg hits three spears
and a jackhammer.
Powers through two mandible claws, which you've built up as like this like move that literally just stops everybody in their tracks.
Yeah.
And then an awful jackhammer to finish it off.
Mm-hmm. That looked like a dangerous jackhammer. I don't know if he was going to get him up.
God. It's just, I'm not looking forward to what's going on. And like, it's like, once again,
you're not looking forward to a spear versus spear match at Mania?
No. And like, once again, it's like, how are you, there's... both Bray Wyatt and The Fiend should be bigger stars than they are. And they're kept down by nostalgia. And it's like, there's going to get a point where Bill Goldberg and Undertaker aren't going to be able to come into the ring. And you're going to have a company filled with a bunch of guys that like have a name to them but aren't like The Rock or Austin or Hogan or Cena. Don't have that caliber because you keep relying on Bill Goldberg and doing bullshit like Brock Lesnar.
Taker.
Like, just makes me sad. But yes. Then I'm like, I just watch AEW. And that seems to be the general consensus for what's happening with a lot of people. So,
Speaking of, we have a pay-per-view coming up on Saturday.
Yes. A good pay-per-view. One that will satisfy all.
Oh, my God.
My giblets will be so rustled.
The card is creamy.
Yeah, the card is obnoxious. Like, everything, it's stacked. So, let's go ahead and run down this card, run down our predictions. Do you want to do any bonus points? Just in general, like bonus. I don't know necessarily know what the bonus points would be.
Yeah, I have no idea what.
Yeah, we can just figure it out. I don't think there's any like actual stipulations or like
maybe you, like you drink every time there's a Matt Hardy reference.
Or drink. Yeah, that would be good. And positive, it's on a Saturday, which is even better.
Yeah, it's a little bit rough when you have to. Well, they don't really end pay-per-views at like midnight anymore. But yeah, when it's like, oh, this is ending at midnight, I've got like I'm working 5 hours
and I gotta work. So, yeah, so that's good. Yeah, let's just go ahead and start off at the top with SCU defending nothing. They're just facing the Dark Order.
That's true.
Who do you got and why?
I want the Dark Order. I think they might actually get Christopher Daniels to turn.
That is all right. Yeah, I honestly completely agree with that. I figured they've been harping on him for a long time.
Plus, they also need to start winning matches if they're going to be seen as a threat. Like they're trying to push him, and they lose all the time.
Well, the matches that they lose though aren't like Evil Uno and my brain is what the hell is that guy's name? Oh my goodness.
Hey, this is your show.
I know. That's why it's like, why can't I remember? But anyway, like a lot of the Dark Order matches, remember they have the like Alex Frost, and then like the two jobber tag teams that got signed, brought into the Dark mm-hmm. Order. They've been doing all of those matches. So when you have like the main guys in there, that's why I think that might be a little bit of an issue for SCU.
Ah, indeed.
But yeah, I think Dark Order will take that one away. All right. So 1-1. I want that belt, so hopefully our opinions will stray. Up next, probably like one of my most like matches that I'm most excited for, yeah, to be honest.
We a got completely serious asshole versus a lazy happy guy.
Yeah. We got Pac versus Orange Cassidy. Who do you got, Bash?
While I think we might actually get to see moments of Orange Cassidy actually doing wrestling moves, I'm sure Pac's going to win this one.
Yeah, I don't see the bastard losing this one. I'm excited to see Orange Cassidy wrestle, though, because he's a really good wrestler, like when he goes. Mm-hmm. And this is technically his first match.
Yes, it is. So, his first singles match.
Yes. So, so it'll be exciting to see like the first 10 minutes, him just kind of hands in pocket the whole time before he actually starts busting out the real moves.
Yes.
But yeah, I definitely think Pac's going to end up taking this one, especially because he's just like, he has all that Northern Ireland rage fueling inside him after that 30 minute Iron Man match.
What?
Or not Newcastle. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said
Ireland. Pac didn't do that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm saying, like, it's going to be a good match. I don't see him losing, especially because he's probably just filled with rage from losing to Kenny on Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I don't know why I said Northern Ireland. I think I just had Finn on the mind. And even then.
Oi.
Oi.
Brother.
Brother.
Moving on, yeah. Nia Jax versus Chris Stratlander
for the AEW Women's Championship. I like Chris, but she's definitely not going to take that belt from Nyla.
I mean, the build for this belt has been tremendous. I mean, there has been none.
I know.
So yeah, it's probably going to stick with Nyla, especially since she just took it off of Riho. I don't think like hot potatoing a belt around makes it any more important, and no. I'm sure Cody knows that.
Yeah. I do think like you were saying earlier, now that she has the belt, this can probably be the start of the women's division finally kind of picking up speed. Because then you'll have
And they got rid of the Nightmare Collective.
Yeah, that too. I like how they were just like done. All right, got it. Although I see and I don't believe rumors, but I heard there was tension between the elites because Kenny was the one that said that they should probably pull the plug on the Nightmare Collective stuff. I hope that's not the case. Cause like there is always that fear that I kind of had where like yeah, these guys are friends with each other and all that's all good and fine and dandy, but like friendship and business have to be two separate things. So like you can't let you can't take it personal when
Hey Cody, your wife's shtick is rubbish.
Yeah, let's try not to do that anymore. So up next, Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara. I've been looking forward to this match because I fucking love Darby Allin.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's probably become one of my favorite guys in AEW.
But then again, so is Sammy.
Yeah.
And so we have two flippy guys that like to hurt people. So
yeah,
this is going to be great.
And like Darby is like doesn't care if he hurts himself. Like he's very
the coffin
it's
drops.
Like, yeah, it feels like it's like old school hardcore wrestling coming out of him. Like him and Jimmy Havoc, who I haven't really seen in a while, aside from like AEW Dark. But
I was going to say, he actually just beat Marco Stunt.
Yeah, I haven't seen him on like the main show in a bit.
He's been away for a little bit.
I think they all still have contracts with other places too, so that would make a little bit more sense. Because they're allowed to work at other companies, because that's what an independent contractor is.
Could have been. I think he might just have been taking a break. Yeah, the WWE has exclusive independent contractor.
Yeah.
That was a weird whistle. So, who do you have, Darby Allin or Sammy Guevara?
Ooh, you know what? This one is a rough one, but I'm going to have to go with Darby. Because I always, in the back of my head, with any of these matches with members of the Inner Circle, there's always a chance that someone from the Inner Circle will come out. Right now, the only people that aren't on the card are Santana Ortiz. So, they could be in all of those matches, just like walking out with everyone. But I think Darby is scrappy enough to where he'd be able to pull off a victory.
Possibly. But I think it's going to Sammy.
Oh, snap. So far, that's the deciding factor. It's Darby versus Sammy.
Yes, that is. Especially because I don't think our opinions are... Well, there might be one key one that we're probably going to not agree with. But next up, Jake Hager versus Dustin Reynolds.
Dustin Reynolds. Who do you got?
Well, I thought for a second that Goldust might take it, but there's no way he's
the undefeated going to. MMA fighter. Yeah, Jake is definitely going to win this one. I think it's going to be a great match, but I think that Jake is going to win through shady means.
Oh yeah, Jake's going to win.
Yeah, 100%.
We are going to see a beautiful power slam though.
Oh yeah,
because Dustin Reynolds has a beautiful power slam.
Those are they're the best, and they're like RKOs too. Mm-hmm. It's like you literally just like
boom, damn, oh,
blink and you miss power slams. So yeah, up next,
the best story.
Yes, the best story at AEW thus far. We got with Young Bucks versus Page and Omega for the AEW Tag Championship.
Every time you see a flip, you drink.
This is gonna be rough. This is a rough one to pick.
Because
It's like, do you think they're gonna pull the trigger with Hangman? And like I said, it's like, I mean, Hangman, I personally feel like he's the good guy in this scenario.
Yeah, it kind of seems like it now.
So do you think they're gonna pull the trigger?
I think they might. I have to go with the Bucks winning this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, I was gonna stick with Paige and Omega. And then the deception still be there, but then that puts a rift between Paige and Kenny. So then he'll have to choose between the Young Bucks. And
then Kenny turns heel?
I don't know.
That could be.
But I think I'm going to stick with that because I think that there will be a lot of dissension and like not cool stuff happening between Paige and the Young Bucks during the match. But I still think they'll end up pulling out the victory. And then that will just create even more tension between all that.
I could see that. Why am I defending the title against the show I don't cover?
Yes.
Up next, we have Cody versus MJF. I was hoping for a steel cage match, but nah.
No.
God, another 30-foot moonsault.
Yeah, that was the scariest thing in the entire world. Who do you got, Bash?
I actually went with MJF on this one.
I actually did go with MJF too.
Oh, okay.
But
never mind.
I think that Cody is going to beat the shit out of MJF.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like royally kick his ass. Like very few offense from MJF, but still somehow MJF pulls out a victory. Just so we can all feel just that giant sigh of relief, like finally he can put his hands around this fucking guy's neck.
Yeah. And then continue it on. I think the rivalry could just be a little bit toastier.
Definitely. And the, like, the heat that he'll get from winning, too, it will just make it that much sweeter.
Yes.
I'm assuming, you know, they'll probably have Wardlow interrupt at some point. And, yeah. I'm excited. This is going to be... That's
I want to see a spot with the scarf.
And I think just in general, like, just the heat that he's going to... That MJF's going to get. Because, like, Cody, like... Cody has the AEW fan base literally in the palm of his hands. Like, every entrance that he has is, like, the biggest pop in the world.
Yeah, he is the most underdog babyface ever.
Yeah, and it's like, and which is even crazier because it's not just the underdog babyface as a wrestler. It's like the underdog babyface as the vice president of a wrestling company. So, like, the wrestling company itself is the underdog babyface that he's just kind of at the mantle of, so. But yeah, the heat, like I said.
That's like underdog babyface squared.
Like, we say nuclear heat a lot when it comes to, like Roman after WrestleMania from beating, like, like that was nuclear
okay, heat. Okay, that one was nuclear heat. That was 15 minutes of booze.
I almost feel like it might be a slightly worse with MJF.
I don't know if you're ever going to get 15 minutes of solid booze again.
I don't know. That was also
like the entire arena deafening booze.
I guess that's your sort of apex. Like, if like you want that kind of heat, you want Roman after Mania sort of levels of heat. But it might. I mean, it's like I said, MJF has been just. I mean, with the 10 lashes and like all the shit that he's been doing. Like, yeah, it's gonna be great. Feel great to watch him get his ass kicked, but. People are going to be furious when he loses.
Yeah.
So, and then the main match of the night.
Yeah.
John Moxley versus
Chris Champion
Jericho for the AEW Championship. Who do you got, Basham?
No. Who do you have?
I don't know, to be honest.
As your champion, I get to go last.
Oh,
I feel like you've been making me go first most of these because you don't know.
I'm gonna convince myself in real time. So, wrestling logic dictates that because Jericho stood tall, then the go home show Moxley should win. But this isn't WWE. At the same time, Moxley's fought 9 people at once with one eye. Mm-hmm. And is still, like, persevered.
Pirate Moxley.
So with that, I'm going to have to say that John Moxley is taking the belt.
Okay, yeah, I picked Moxley, too.
All right. That was super anticlimactic, but that's fine.
Yes.
So does that mean that the only, it's Paige and then Darby Allin are going to be the only two that, like, separate ones?
Yes.
At least it's more than one. It's always the worst when it's, like, oh, you mean this? You mean the predictions belt is hinged on, like,
yeah, this one match that's second, huh?
That, like, no, that, like, it was a throwaway that, like, no, there's no build to it. We're just like, oh, okay, whatever. Yep. This person. Yeah, I think overall, though, this is probably going to be, I mean, it's going to be better than Super Showdown.
It might not be better than AEW Dynamite last Wednesday, but.
Yeah, they did set themselves a bar pretty high with that, but yeah, so those are our predictions for that. We'll have results for it next week. We'll have a little bit of extra weight around my shoulder as well.
I doubt that.
Uh-huh. Do we have anything else?
I've had the It's a Small World song stuck in my head for a couple days now.
I don't want to hear that because now it's going to be stuck in my head. I already got...
Okay, then no, I have nothing else.
I already got the Song That Never Ends from Lamb Chop out of my head from the other day. Because that is the worst song to get stuck in your head because it literally never ends. It just goes on and on, my friend. You know, some people started singing it, not knowing what it was, but they'll just keep on singing it forever.
Just because.
It's the song that never... Okay, that's enough of that. So yeah, next week we'll have results for that. I know we're looking at the projection of the next couple months. There's like a shit ton of movies that are coming out. There isn't a lot of wrestling pay-per-view-esque stuff up until like leading up to the road to WrestleMania. Like AEW after this is like, I don't think they have anything until like after WrestleMania. Because they've been spacing out their pay-per-views pretty
yeah,
pretty
far. Very, very far spaces in their pay-per-views, but it makes them feel more, like, I don't know, more special.
Yeah.
And just like, oh, next month's pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. But I know we will have Bloodshot comes out this month, which is going to be awesome. Vin Diesel.
Nanite technology.
Yeah. I can't remember. I feel like there's something else that I keep thinking Black Widow, but that's May. The Onward comes out next week too. That Pixar did that new Disney Pixar movie, but I'm like,
is New Mutants April?
Is it? It might be. It might be
April. Yeah, April 3rd.
You know what? I'm also probably.
Yeah, we got Onward March 6th. The Bloodshot March 13th. The Quiet Place 2 is after that with March 20th, and then Mulan is March 27th.
Yeah, the Quiet Place 2 is what I was thinking. I also remembered like that. I picked up Color Out of Space, which I'm excited to hear what your opinion on that.
That movie. Yeah, limited release.
I know, but it's funny how quickly it came out on Blu-ray and DVD though. That's why the limited releases kind of suck, but it was like we were like, oh, it's in Chicago. We're not going there. And then like a month later, it's out already. So
it's like, oh, all right.
That's just another one of those Nicolas Cage machines that just keep turning out. But it just so happens to be based off of Lovecraft.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, as always, make sure you guys follow us at House of Pod 1 on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. I think that's how that works too.
Yeah, sure.
It's the same thing. Like we said, next week we will have the results for Revolution. So make sure you're checking on that. For House of Pod, I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
Goodbye.